frame of reference that it just wasn't there for them.
Right.
So
it's only the children that said, "What's that, Daddy?" Oh, wampum Daddy, or whatever they say. I don't know. How?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Literally, how?
Yeah. It's like...
How'd they do that? What's that? Before they could actually start to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose we're in that stage until we realize that it's, you know, it's actually there.
Right.
We're not going to see it.
Right. Yeah. And if it does, one's attitude towards it does make a difference. There are stories of people that, you know, that are profound skeptics, that they go into the fields and into the crop circles, and they see people in black costume walking out of them and with boards and string, you know, for instance. And then there are other people that are conspiracy theorists, and they go in and to the crop circles, and they see the black helicopters flying overhead. And then there are other people that go in that are open to that this is a mystery that's being fed by something else, and they get a completely different experience. So, I mean, part of this might be the lesson of you get what you're expecting.
That's true.
So, and I do think that it's extremely important to be cognizant of what we're, how we project on the world, and that the universe is going to give us some reflection in concert with that, whatever that means, you know, however that would work. If we're very complex beings, so it could work very, very complexly. But, you know, it's not a simple-minded universe.
No.
But it is, everything of a moment is of that moment. So, and you're a part of it. You can't take yourself out of the equation. So.
That's true. Not just an observer.
No.
Yeah. Well, government. What does government have an official word with the
about
crop circles?
Well, there's a lot of disinformation. You know, the media. You know, that doesn't cover it. that has staunchly stood by Doug and Dave.
Right.
You know, or any other theory. Our National Geographic just this past year, I think, was trying to do another. I think they've done this before. Another documentary about the crop circles, and they had gotten some hoaxers to go out and do a crop circle that they documented that it was done, and then they took a researcher who's a fairly well-known researcher, and they had her come and give her spiel about if this was real or not, and she was clearly being coerced.
Led or...
Yeah, to give a positive identification to something that they knew was false.
Okay.
And... you know, that kind of disinformation campaign, rather than, you know, being documenting and being open. But there are filmmakers that are out there that are, I mean, there are lots of that actually films that are out there that are documenting it more from an open-minded. Okay. And there's lots of literature. You can find books, wonderful researchers that just... and you can go and experience them for yourself. They are there. you can't not see them if they're sitting there in front of you.
Right. It's like,
you
know, they are real. Yeah.
They are real. You can't deny that they're there. So it's
what's been the closest one to us here this year?
This year, the closest one was in Oregon that we know of, and it was a descending series of five circles. It looked like they were. I haven't seen any kind of mathematical analysis of them, but it looked like they were in some kind of mathematically precise array.
A ratio.
Some kind of ratio going on. It was in Oregon. They do happen in the United States. there have been not quite as elaborate as the ones that go on in England,
Europe and stuff, yeah.
But actually, because they are so rare, so relatively, in the United States, they're probably more authentic. And the people that do the research on them in the United States have have found this more or less to be true. And the research, you know, as I was saying before, Jeff Wilson of the ICCRA, they've done some amazing research on the ones in the United States. Just phenomenal. Like, I saw him talk just recently, actually, just a couple weeks ago. And he was talking, there was one glyph that came down, somewhere back east, maybe in Kentucky or Ohio Basin somewhere, that was a grid pattern. Well, actually, an asterisk of an eight cross.
Eight-pointed
cross. I need to take a sip. Hold on.
Yeah, please.
And through Google Earth, God, technology is amazing.
Yep.
He was able to extend these lines that were in this one particular formation across the landscape, miles, miles and miles and miles across the landscape, hundreds of miles across the landscape. And every single one of these axes pointed either directly to the center of another glyph that they've known has over hundreds of miles, like really, really precisely to the center of another glyph, or to the center of a known ancient Earth formation.
Okay.
So there's a relationship between the Earth formations, you know, the ancient acknowledged Earth works.
Right.
And these new acknowledged earthworks that are coming down, these contemporary ones. So,
yeah, that's interesting. The difference, I suppose. I suppose in Europe we have Watkins in 1925. He saw ley lines.
Right.
He was just in his horse and cart in Wales, and he looked out over the scenery and saw how things were connected up in straight lines. You know, old Roman ruins, old springs, old roads. You know, things like that, and realized
or a dolmen that had been erected.
Stones, exactly. Stonehenge, has got eight different ley lines going straight through it. So I don't know anything about America in terms of, has that been
there has been some that has been studied. It's there are earth grids that have been put out there can't remember the name of the researcher. Jeff Wilson did give me the name of somebody that I a book that I should look into, but I don't have that on me. That is about this subject, that says what the lines are that they've determined in the United States, for instance, earth grid lines. They actually did, there is a grand cross that occurs on the eastern side of the United States of these two lines. And there have been most of the circles or, you know, formations that have come up in the United States actually have been more or less along this grand cross. And in fact, one of the ways that they found this out was one year they had flown, you know, in the United States, the distances are so vast, whereas in England, it's pretty compact,
right.
You know. So they usually have to fly. When they hear about one, they usually have to fly in order to go find it. And as they were flying to this one, they went past another one that hadn't been reported. And then they noticed, so they marked it on the map, and they marked the one that they were going to. And then they noticed that there was a line that was direct from the two that they had just found and another one that they knew about that was much like a couple states away in the landscape, that it was along a straight line. And so they got the idea, why don't we fly this line and see what comes up? So they did. They flew this line, and they found two others that had not been reported.
Whoa.
Along this line. So there's something going on. There's definitely something going on.
Well, especially if, you know, things aren't even being reported. It's not as if somebody's doing it for attention.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, So, and the thing about that one glyph with the eight lines going through it, I mean, and Jeff has is now theorizing that almost every crop circle in the United States, at least, that has straight lines in it, is pointing to something else. And he started to do the research with Google Earth. And, in fact, he had sent this some of this research to another researcher who's well-known in Europe by the name of Bert Janssen, who he comes here and does workshops every now and then. And he's wonderful. You should go onto his website. It's called Crop Circles and More. He's got some great research on there. He heard Jeff's findings, and he started to apply some of that to the circles in England, and he's found that the straight lines are referencing crop circles that either have already appeared. Or maybe appear the next year.
Right.
You know, I mean, time is collapsing here. You know, it's like, or maybe we're being referenced to. I mean, the way that the phenomenon continues to unfold, it's like there's intelligence that goes beyond time. Yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, myself, just in the past, I've done a lot of looking at ley lines in England, and I've, you know, taken a blank map, and I've looked at all the old stones and old ruined Roman ruins or sprinkles, and I've drawn those lines, and it really works. I mean, they're there. I mean, they're not just random assortments like Stonehenge is exactly lined up with Glastonbury Tor, and then that line continues to Mount St. Michael in Cornwall. And they're all lined up, not just accidentally, but actually positioned in a line.
Right. In fact, that points to, I mean, some people say, well, why do they all come down in England? Why are the most, why are they so complex over there? How come we don't, you know, why don't they come up like that over here in Petaluma, you know, or something like that? And, you know, there is this ancient knowledge that's never been lost in England. Mm. It was never, well, actually, a lot of it. It may have gone underground. They did actually break down a lot of the stones around Avebury in order to make their
houses,
homes, you know, the things like that. But the most of it is still there. At least the markings are still there. The land formations are still there. The history is still there. Right. And a lot of the acknowledgement of the rights of it is actually still there. People go out on the equinox to watch the sunrise and just over the stone at Stonehenge or any of the other, you know, stone circles.
Oh, yeah, I did that every year.
There are tons of dowsers that go and do, you know, it's acknowledged there. and it's very compact and never been lost, and it's easy to reference that.
Well, it's interesting. I understand they did a poll about a year ago, and there's now actually more acknowledged pagans than Christians in Britain now.
Really?
Yeah, practicing.
Woo-hoo.
So yeah, it's coming out. It can be suppressed for so long,
right?
But it's so too powerful to be suppressed for forever.
That's really true.
You know, so that is interesting how that can, you know, because it was always there still, just was supplanted by the Roman and Christian cultures.
Right. Yeah, and of course, no wonder they would put the churches on top of those spots. Those are the power spots.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where spiritual energy is rising. So, of course, that's where we're going to put our church. You know, it's like, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, just slightly different garb.
Yeah, they might not know why, you know, just because they know that if they put it there, people will keep coming, but they don't know why. Yeah, the real why.
Right, or over the spring. Like he was showing, Arnaldo was showing me a postcard that he had just gotten from a friend in France somewhere over a spring, a little well. And it's clearly in a Roman church with Mary or something in a courtyard, but it looks like a very ancient well. Yeah,
and the whole feminine, you know, going back to the matriarchal ages before, you know, this is very a female thing with the woman inside, you know, the Mary figure inside.
It's beautiful.
With the water coming, you know, forth. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
But that's it. You know, everything was supplanted. You know, we look at it and see it as part of a religion or art or whatever, but not really those lines behind it.
Right.
You know, why was this established? More because of that other energy.
Right. I mean, it really does speak to that there's... It's beyond it's beyond any dogma. It's beyond any ism that you can put on it.
Right. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
It's that there's something that is genuine and real that's so much larger than any thought form that could, you know, that you would put on top of it, you know, try to contain it with, express it with. So, and, you know, it does seem like, you know, these crop circles that are so mysterious, you know, they're not saying, it's not a dogma. It's almost like, you know, when you're working at the level of geometry or the level of the grain almost, or the you know, the landscape, the reference to the landscape, you know, that's actually a whole nother, you know, with Jeff's with some of Jeff's research, but even just to that if you want to approach the crop circles from how have they been laid into the landscape, what's their reference to, I wish there was much more precise records of that, you know, is it pointing directly to north? Does it point to some phenomenon that happens during the year? Does it point to a water source? Does it point to, you know, something all the way across the planet?
Right.
You
That's
know,
true. Yeah.
Or in the skies, or, I mean, you know,
there must be lines coming right through the planet from all the other planets and other places, yeah.
So, I mean, really, it can open you up to so many, I mean, you know, you can't even imagine the research that could go on. It's like, right, can take you anywhere and probably apply.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because it's interesting. It's not as if people are making it a religious thing, crop circles. They're not looking at that, I don't think, are they?
Not as a dogma.
Yeah.
No. They it's much...
Said, whoa, you know, we
right, right. They're not going in and worshiping. It's although they, some people call them temporary temples.
Okay.
And, I mean, and they do. I mean, they do, you know, authentic ones. And it could be just the human projection that gets put on it as, oh my God, what a wonderful thing. And the excitement, you know, to gather in something that's mysterious, you create a field.
Right.
So, and again, you know, from which direction is the intention coming from? And it's all embedded in this moment of awakening.
Right.
Of evolution, of awakening. It's like, oh,
yeah,
it's so exciting. I just love it.
Just connecting with that. Yeah, just somehow in our feeble way of connecting with it.
Yeah, feeble and marvelous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. That glimpse is incredible, yeah.
Right, feeble in the sense that we're bumbling our way towards heaven, but that marvelous in the sense that, you know, even just a simple circle can reveal.
Yes.
Something. So.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of power just in a circle. It can do a lot of things.
Yeah. You
know. Well, let's take a little break for a second. It's always, wow.
I know. Time flies.
It's almost 9
o'clock. We've gone through our own time warp here. That's what crop circles do.
I think so, yeah. If there's anybody left out there, if you haven't all gone to another planet or deep underground, you can give us a call at area code 707-874-1073. And we'll play a bit of music. I've got something interesting. Who knew? Captain Beefheart knew all about it. Corn ring finger.
Yeah, love that.
We'll be right back.
yeah.
I think he's the one that's making them.
It could be. It wouldn't surprise me.
That is mysterious music there.
Oh, yeah. Even 40 years later, it's totally wild and mysterious.
Very,
you know?
Very, very.
Incredible. Captain Beefheart. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're listening. We are chatting with Marianne Grace, and we've been talking about crop circles and other phenomena such as that. Hope you're enjoying the show. You can give us a call. We've got the last 10 minutes. Miss Annie is in the house with her soul and R&B show coming up right after mine at 9 o'clock. It is good, so I really recommend it. I know she mentioned it's the 50th anniversary of Rod Serling's The Twilight Zone.
Oh, how appropriate.
So I know she was going to play that, but I don't know if there's a soul and R&B version of that, but it should be interesting.
Yeah.
So the phone number in the studio is 874-1073, area code 707. You give us a call. Marianne Grace is in the studio and talk about phenomena such as crop circles.
Yeah, so we're nearing the end here. It looks like that Arnoldo's show is getting towards the end. This has really been a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So he said that I should give out my website address again.
Please do. Any information that you'd like to put out there?
Where our Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group is meeting once a month on the first Sunday of the month from 2 to 5 p.m. right now. Is what is happening right now. The next one is this coming Sunday.
Oh, this tomorrow, 2 days' time.
Yes, 2 days from okay. now, so on the 4th. And if you're interested in being involved, go to the website and sign up. It's www.meetup.com, meetup.com/ Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group. And in between Bay Area Crop Circle Study and Group, there are dashes in between each one of those words. You put a dash. And if you Google Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group, you're going to find this one as the first entrance. So that is another way that you can get there. You can contact me through that website, and there's a link for me if you want to ask questions or anything like that. Arnoldo,
also,
yeah, he was saying that on my email as we were communicating, I have three different little websites. One is this Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group. One is I'm an artist of sorts. I make art quilts. And I'm very modest in this, but because I know what unbelievable stuff is going on in the quilting world these days. But, my art quilt website is, Impressionist-quilts. I'm into the dashes. Impressionist-quilts.com. And they're wall quilts. They're wall hangings there. And they are lovely.
They are beautiful, really.
Thank you.
Check them out.
I do really enjoy making them. And I just put up a new one, and I have one that's on the board that's ready to be finished up. So it's exciting. I do like making them. And I don't make a whole lot of them, but it's nice to get them out there.
How long does it take to make a quilt?
Most of the length of the time has to do with staring. I stare at them a lot and go, do I like that square there? Is that working or not? So, you know, it's the actual physical creating of one, it's probably only about a week's worth, but the time that it takes to actually decide, you know, am I happy with it or not, that can take months depending on the size of the quilt.
The creative spirit
yeah.
takes
you know, I can stare in it, and they're a little mysterious. And then I do have one more website. Some of you may know about this incredible device called the Beamer. B-E-M-E-R stands for Bioenergetic Magnetic... No. What is it? Oh, my God, I can't believe it. Oh, Bioelectromagnetic Energy Regulation. That's
there
what it
go.
Is, Beamer. And it's a magnetic field, a pulsed electromagnetic field mat that is incredible. Oh, my God, I love my Beamer. So if you are interested in something that enhances microcirculation, and this is so key to health, is getting your circulation to be opened up, and so that your tissues can get oxygenated, and among a host of other things that it does. But if you're interested in the Beamer, you can get in touch with me too. That would be very cool. So I do highly recommend that. It's a very, very interesting device. Yeah. But you didn't really bring me here to go talk about that. That could be a whole other right. couple hours.
But the same address, which address did they contact you about that?
BeamerAmerica.com. B-E-M-E-R is Beamer. B-E-M-E-R. America.com/mgrace, as in Marianne Grace.
Yeah, that's Marianne with an E.
Yes, M-A-R-I-E-N.
Exactly.
So, yes, that's me.
Beautiful. Now, so are you in or have been in contact with people like all around the world who are looking at this and studying this? I mean, there is groups everywhere.
My group is relatively new, and I haven't been all around the world. I have met people from various places, mostly European. I have been to England a couple times during the season and had my own experiences.
Oh, really? Oh, tell me about that.
Oh, gosh.
We've got about 1 minute, so...
Not enough time. But it's I do recommend doing it. People that go are... open-hearted and interesting, and what a phenomenon to be, and what a great way to meet people from all over the world.
Are there actually groups who will go, like, to England in a group?
Sure. You can definitely, pay a lot of money and be hosted, right. be toured over there. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, okay.
But, I went on my own and was wonderfully guided. It was... both times. Wonderfully, wonderfully guided. It felt very held.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll come back and do another show later and give us some more. We touched a lot of subjects.
We
didn't even get
to. We get a bunch of fan mail.
Right.
That would be great.
Indeed. Well, as you say, it takes one person at a time to realize it's...
I'm just this 50-year-old, woman that decided, enough of this. I want to have friends to talk about with. So I decided to make this group, and I just launched it. I just did it. So get out there and do what you love.
I say the circles make you create circles.
Indeed.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the the final thing. It's telling us to, look to circles.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Because it's... it has to be a simple message to get across, I suppose, that maybe it shouldn't be too complex, just enough to put us on the right track.
Right. And open.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And open for it, yeah.
Open to the mystery.
Yeah. Well, time has beaten us, and we're going to head out with my usual outro. Do you come here often? Which seems appropriate for this.
Thank you for inviting me. This has really been fun.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you came, Marianne. And I hope everyone's enjoyed it out there in cow's land in the fields. So, and hold on, because Miss Annie's coming right up.